This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend, my partner in radio, my partner in social distancing, the great Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we've got a little different episode idea on tap for today for Happy Rant Sports, in that with our extra time, I have unearthed condensed versions of the greatest Viking season in history, 1998. And I've gifted you with one of those today. So we're going to watch Vikings Cowboys over the span of 15 minutes from 1998. And we're going to revel in that successful time in Vikings history and Randy Moss history. And I personally can't wait. I love 90s football. I love everything 90s football. I love the AstroTurf. I love fullbacks. I love Jim Kleinsasser. I love Old Texas Stadium with the hole in the roof. I'm stoked about this, man. And I've not watched this game in forever, since 1998. I was actually living in Lithuania at the time. We were doing that year on the mission field. So my dad, man, God bless him, just the greatest guy. He would record these games on VHS. He would do like a game of the week for me and then just drop it in the mail and send it over. So like,
that's a good dad.
That's a phenomenal dad, man. So I was watching these games like 3 weeks late, sometimes never, you know, the Lithuanian mail system. Sometimes they would like open your package, steal whatever was in there. Sometimes they would like steal the good stuff, leave some other stuff. So it was like, very catch as catch.
There's a Lithuanian former postal worker who just loves Ed McDaniel now. It's 100% certain, because they stole your games and just watch number 58 for the Vikings make tackles for loss over and over and over again and fell in love with the game.
Yeah, we made an Ed McDaniel enthusiast, and probably a Randall McDaniel enthusiast too. Oh, one of my favorite guards of all time. One of the most athletic, interesting guards of all time. Weird stance guy.
Weird stance. Yeah, he had like the stanky leg stance with the foot out behind him, and had that monster face mask and a neck roll usually. And he was tiny for a guard compared to many of his, because the late 90s was like the Dallas Cowboys, the Larry Allens, the, you know, 380 pound guard types, and he was maybe 275, 280. He wasn't very big, but he was amazing.
Super athletic though, could get to the next level, was a great like pin and pull guy. Awesome guard. Looking forward to watching him. So Pipe, besides, and I want to hear like where you were and what your station in life was as you were watching this unfold in real time. But besides Randy Moss, who are you most like stoked to watch from this game?
Robert Griffith, who was the Vikings strong safety, is one of those players who, if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, you probably had an affinity for him. He's the kind of safety who couldn't play today because he made a living breaking people's face masks.
Exactly, dude. There were so many of those guys in the 90s.
They would do like montages after the season of like the number of times his own face mask was replaced. You know, nice. So like just the mangled face mask. So he was, I think he was number 24, strong safety for the Vikings. I'm excited to revisit Robert Smith, the running back.
Yeah. Dude, because Robert Smith was fun. Kind of a glider.
Yeah, he was,
you know,
really
made
good.
It look effortless.
I mainly remember all that ever got talked about was that he was a Big Ten sprint champion.
Yeah,
but I don't feel like that is enough merit to have been a multiple year 1,000-yard rusher, big play guy, and also a key part of the most explosive offense to that point in NFL history.
Because with track guys, usually like you equate track guy with softness.
Yeah,
and he was not soft. Like he would finish runs. I remember.
He wasn't
between the tackles guy.
Yeah, he was an upright runner, you know, which is also a track guy thing. So he wasn't like the Emmitt Smith get low, you know, slide off contact guy. And he was really explosive, but he was a long strider, really interesting guy. The other thing is, I don't have a keen sense in my memory of the big three receivers for the Vikings. Obviously, the game we're going to watch is the Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys in 1998. So
yeah,
one of Randy Moss's big breakout games of he had many against the Cowboys. He burned them to the ground. But
yeah,
but Chris Carter and Jake Reed were on this team.
Yep.
And Carter, I have a ton of memories of because he was, you know, he's the greatest receiver in Vikings history aside from Randy Moss. You know, just
dude, also, such an awesome receiver.
Yeah, probably the greatest possession receiver of the true possession receiver, like not a downfield guy at all. He probably ran a, you know, 4.940 or something, but just sticky hands and could
dude,
always
great
get
contested
open.
Catch guy too.
Sideline catches for days.
Yeah,
but then there's Jake Reed, who is kind of a forgotten guy. He had multiple thousand-yard seasons as well. And
dude, product of Grambling. He was an HBCU guy, which is awesome. Yeah.
And, I mean, just he was sort of the in-between guy for them where, like, he was, like, 6'2", 215 pounds, so a big receiver, but not, like, Terrell Owens big or Randy Moss tall.
He was kind of like an Alvin Harper. He would have been like an Alvin Harper on a normal team that didn't have two Hall of Famers on it.
And so I don't have any recollection. I mean, I remember two or three snapshots in my mind of him catching touchdowns and things like that, but you don't put up multiple thousand yard seasons and kind of be a nothing guy. So I'm really excited to see him play. And then of course there's Randall Cunningham's throwing motion, which is one of the weirdest, coolest things in football history. Yeah.
Dude, the Randall Cunningham narrative of him like basically taking a sabbatical and then totally reinventing himself as a passer is to me one of the most fascinating like quarterback arc things ever. It's right up there to me with Vinny Testaverde sucking for like the first decade of his career being abysmal and then putting together a really interesting and good career, like up until his mid 40s. This Cunningham thing is right up there because this offense was electric. It was unstoppable, you know, and they had, these three elite receivers that you had to contend with, Robert Smith out of the backfield, a really good line. I'm excited to watch Dallas wise Mark Stepnoski. Remember Mark Stepnoski was their center and he played at about 255. He was like my size now. Just an absolute technician, really interesting guy, like who was bookended on either side by Nate Newton and Larry Allen, who are both over 300 pounds.
Yes.
So just a really interesting little like offensive line aesthetic thing there. Eric Williams, great tackle. Who's our other tackle? Mark Tune, I think. One of the best offensive lines in the history of football.
Yeah, I'm trying to, you know, you mentioned the Vikings offensive line and immediately in my mind I'm also excited here to watch Corey Stringer play. So
totally,
Corey Stringer
dude,
was their right tackle, monster human, close to 400 pounds. Who actually died at a Vikings training camp a few years later from, I think it was an enlarged heart and heat stroke. I mean, just really, not that there's a non-tragic death, but I mean, he was in his prime the Vikings haven't had a good right tackle since Corey Stringer died. So,
dude, interesting Corey Stringer thing. I was, so I broke my leg my senior year of high school and, I ended up having surgery on it. I broke it again my freshman year of college, spring ball. So I ended up getting surgery that spring. And when I was up in the hospital in Indianapolis getting my surgery, Corey Stringer was up there getting his NFL scouting combine physical. So like I got to meet and see Corey Stringer in person. And he was just a mammoth human being, like just a huge guy, carried it well, seemed like a really amiable dude.
He had a reputation where, you know, it was the 90s, so everybody, there's sort of stereotypes, and the biggest knock on him was that he was too nice. You know, the right tackle is supposed to be like the foaming at the mouth, eat defensive ends for breakfast, just snarling beast of a run blocker. And he was just a really kind, gentle person who happened to be really good at football and enormous too.
Exactly. Who's your other tackle? Todd Stussy.
Todd Stussy was like the consummate professional tackle for a long time. Was good, but not amazing. My main recollection of Todd Stussy is that he had more false start penalties and holding penalties than any Vikings offensive lineman in history. Like he just, which is what happens when you're just a decent left tackle playing against really good defensive ends. You cheat a lot.
You have to block these elite guys. Yeah. You know, you're going up against like Pat Swilling and Ricky Jackson and all these great pass rushers of the era. Piper, are you ready to get into this?
Yeah. Well,
tell me like your station in life in 1998 when you're watching this game.
All right. So this is, very important thing to note. Pipers did not have a TV. We've covered this on the podcast at length. So this is a holiday game. It's Thanksgiving. Pipers also not big on bringing television into holiday celebrations. You know, they just, parents were like that was not a thing they thought was, necessary or appropriate. So somehow,
interesting relationship with the TV, to say the least. It was complicated.
It wasn't a moral eschewing as much as it was a skepticism and an acknowledgement that this thing will take over our lives. Yeah. So I think it was because we had guests coming over that we were able to finagle my parents into being willing to bring in like the TV with the rabbit ears. So we brought it in. We didn't even have a place for TV in our living room. So we set it up on our, on the hearth of our fireplace. So right in front of the fireplace. And I think it was probably like a 15-inch TV. It was tiny. And, you know, get the rabbit ears set up and play this thing. And so I would have been 14 at the time. So kind of prime, completely irrational fandom of teams. Like this was my fandom apex, because nobody loves teams like a 10 to 18 year old does.
Dude, that's so true.
So true. Not rational, like the kind of thing where when losses happen, it ruined my month. That kind of thing. So that was where we were watching. This was my parents' living room. I'm 14 years old. I'm completely irrationally in love with this team. It's the best Vikings team of my lifetime prior to that or since. I loved every player on their team with the exception of Todd Stussy. I cursed his name all the time. John Randall was on their defensive line. He was my favorite Vikings player ever. Still is. Randy Moss's rookie year. Prior to this game, so maybe a month prior, month and a half prior, I had gotten the chance to go to Lambeau Field with my dad. Some people from his publishing company had connections to the Packers. So got us tickets to the Monday night game when the Vikings broke the Packers 34 or 36 game home winning streak and just beat the brakes off of them. So that was Randy Moss's true national breakout. Monday Night Football.
Absolutely.
Destroying Brett Favre at the peak of his powers. I think that was Packers coming off of a Super Bowl winning season. And so the title on this game that we're going to watch says the game that made Randy Moss a legend. That is false. That was the Monday night game against the Packers. This is the one that cemented him as the abuser of all things Dallas Cowboys and the person who gave Jerry Jones nightmares.
I love it, man. I love it. I definitely watched that Packers Vikings game in Lithuania. And I rewatched it like 14 times. We may have to do that one on the program next, Pipe, if we enjoy doing this. Are we ready to get into it? Do you want to count us in on the tape?
Yeah, let's do this thing. Right. I'm excited. All right. Me too. And just for listeners' sake, it's the condensed version of the game. So we're not doing this for 3 hours. It's basically just every play of the game. It's not the full broadcast. So don't worry.
Yeah, I think it goes 15 minutes. And listeners, if you want to listen, if you want to watch along with us, this is the time to queue up the tape on your end.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes, both on the website and in the actual app itself. So whatever app you're listening in, you should see it in the show notes so you can pull it up. It's a 15-minute YouTube video, so you can watch along with us and revel if you haven't given up on this already. All right, Ted, you ready?
Yep, I'm ready.
All right, here we go. 3, 2. All right, so we're looking at a shot of panning the old Dallas Stadium with its terrible AstroTurf.
Yeah, dude, I love it. I love the terrible AstroTurf. I love this old Fox graphic.
Oh, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Robert Smith breaks off like a 12-yarder to start the game, or 8-yarder. Okay.
A little draw to Robert Smith. Who's your fullback in this? Is this pre-Kleinsasser?
Yeah, who is it? It was Charles Simba Brothers, number 29. I cannot remember. All right, deep shot down the field, third play of the game. Randy Moss in for a touchdown. So,
oh my goodness.
When this happened, yeah, it was a flea flicker. When this happened, I called the one Dallas Cowboys fan friend I had on Thanksgiving, yeah, interrupted his dinner just to taunt him. He was one of our youth leaders.
What an a-hole you were at 14.
He just hung up on me. It was great.
I love it. You were that guy in the youth group, Pipe.
Oh, totally. I think. Oh, the
dude, look deep, at it. Dave's airing it out right here, too.
Yeah, I forgot that Irvin was still in his prime.
Absolutely. Dude, what were your thoughts on Troy Aikman?
I think Troy Aikman. Oh, there's Dwayne Rudd. I forgot about him.
Dwayne Rudd tackling Darryl the Moose Johnston, yeah, one of my favorite fullbacks of all time.
Thoughts on Aikman? I think Aikman's overrated, but also it's hard to tell because he played in a system that featured. Oh, there's a little screen to the fullback. That's great.
You don't see the fullback screen anymore.
No.
I love it. Dude, look at Robert Smith doing work between the tackles, Pipe.
I forgot how shifty he was.
Yeah. Dude, your other guard was David Dixon, who was huge.
Yeah, David Dixon was a Samoan guy who is, yeah, yeah, he was close to 400 as well. There's Chris Carter with a huge touchdown.
Wow.
Yeah, I forgot how fun it was watching Randall Cunningham throw up the seam.
This offense of yours was just a Ferrari. And also, can we appreciate that Viking uniform iteration?
Oh, yeah, this was the best one, yeah.
So
play
good.
Action, Aikman down the field.
Mm-hmm. Dude, I love
Troy Aikman.
I don't know,
is
man.
That Austin? That... Not Miles Austin. He came.
No, no, that's pre-Miles Austin. Also, Miles Austin wore number 19.
Oh, that's.
I don't know. We'll have to get a close up of that guy later, maybe.
Is that rookie Jason Witten?
No, no 80... yeah, exactly.
I think that might have been a BB.
Dude, you're right. That was late career Don Beebe. I love it. I love it. Dude, who's your center here? Jeff Christie?
Jeff Christie, I think. Uh-oh, yeah. Here's Randy Moss putting in work again. Oh, is it coming goodness. Back on a...
Dude, where's the safety on that? Like, you have one job as the safety. Your job is to get over the top.
I think this was when people hadn't realized that you can't roll normal safety coverage to Moss. You had to basically just double cover him, but like brackets coverage with one guy like 5 yards deeper than you'd think he needed to be.
Exactly.
Number 27. That was Corey. Not Corey Chavis. Who was that for the Vikings defense?
I don't know.
I cannot remember.
Dude, I'm impressed with Robert Smith. Long strider, almost Eddie George-like in that regard. Little play action.
You know what I haven't seen is anything from Jake Reed yet.
Yeah, you're right. It's been all Carter and Moss.
Who's 78? Ooh. Was that Leon Lett?
Leon Lett.
Did he just get the sack? That's big.
He did. Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, 83
for the Vikings. Special teams work.
Yeah, downs the punt. That was Robert Tate. He was sort of their speed guy who they were always waiting for him to break out, and he never did.
Also, we got a Chris Walsh sighting in that shot, too.
Number 81.
Obligatory white guy.
He came and spoke at my Pee Wee football end-of-year banquet when I was in, like, fifth or sixth grade.
Dude, how was he? Was he good?
He's a nice guy.
Also, yeah. I think Ronnie was scheduled to do that gig this year, but it got canceled. Ronnie will do any speaking gig, even Pee Wee football banquets.
How the heck did Aikman miss that pass?
I have no idea because the cover or the protection was impeccable.
44. That's Leon Horde or Leroy Horde.
Dude, Leroy. I love Leroy Horde.
Greatest quote in Vikings history. Yeah. If you need 3 yards. I'll get you 3 yards. If you need 5 yards, I'll get you 3 yards.
I'll get you 3 yards. Dude, I love Leroy Horde. Classic big back.
Yeah, he was their short yardage guy. So he probably had like 6 or 7 touchdowns that year and, you know, was just a total vulture on short yardage stuff.
Yeah. Dude,
Patrick
Aikman showing
Jeffers.
Off the arm.
Yeah, Aikman did
Patrick
have a
Jeffers.
I don't remember Patrick Jeffers at all, but the Vikings just got toasted by a white receiver. That's a little disconcerting.
Dude, and also, not to be weird, but Troy Aikman, great-looking guy.
Yeah.
Like young Troy Aikman.
Yeah, really.
Extremely handsome.
He was sort of your All-American guy. Ooh, nice play.
Dude, he was.
There's Robert Griffith. That's what we were waiting for.
Dude, that's Robert Griffith teaching tape right there. That's how you tackle a fullback in the flat.
82 Ooh. For the Vikings. Was that Steve?
Andrew Glover.
Andrew Glover, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think also from Grambling, if I'm not mistaken. I think they had two Grambling guys on this team. Nice coverage there.
Woodson. I forgot Aaron about Woodson. Man, he was another scary safety who couldn't play today.
Who got there a half a second too early in that play.
One of my favorite things about Chris Carter is that when he ran the ball, did yours just go to an ad?
No.
Okay, mine.
Did yours?
Yeah, hold on a second.
I'm going to pause. So when you come out of the ad, I'm at 5 minutes and 54 seconds.
All right, it's coming back. It just... All right, I'm there.
All right.
Just saw an overthrow in the end zone.
Yep.
To Chris Carter. We're in the same spot. What I was saying is the way that Chris Carter ran the ball, his hands were so big that he would just... It's like watching you or me run with a tennis ball, and he would just hold it one-handed.
Totally. Yeah, he had enormous hands.
Oh, Gary Anderson drills the field goal, which is... knowing how this season ends makes me even more sad about that.
That hurts.
He was perfect all season until he wasn't.
Dude, also, Stepnoski's not in this game. It's John Gisek playing center, which is disappointing for me. But it's okay. I'll get over it. Aikman finding Irvin.
I'm a little annoyed that the Vikings are playing John Randall on the edge so much in this game.
Dude, you're right.
There he is. He's under tackle.
Yeah. Dude, maybe they felt like he would have a better shot, not against Larry Allen. I don't know.
Well, I think they would do the classic thing where they would bring in two huge fat guys on early downs, because it was still back when there were things called running downs.
Run downs, yeah, for sure. Dude, who were some of those huge fat guys for you guys?
Oh, man, who was it that they had a bunch of bad nose tackles over the years? I think this was post-Henry Thomas. Henry Thomas and John Randall played together in the mid-90s, and he was really good.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who this Vikings defense... Chris Hovind came along after this.
Dude, Chris Hovind was fun.
Yeah, he was another one with like the barbed wire tattoo stuff. Bright red hair. He was an interesting one. He's a good player, but
dude,
not...
can we talk about the barbed wire tattoo for a minute? Because as a like wannabe tough guy in the 90s, I really like seriously thought about getting one, and I'm so glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you ever like entertain thoughts of the barbed wire tattoo, or was that a little before your time?
Oh, hold on. Deep shot to Randy Moss.
There it is.
Oh, and a flag.
Oh. Yep.
That's what happens when you're covered by a slow safety who just mugs you.
Exactly.
This is straight mugging.
Oh, dude, look at it. He had like half of Randy Moss's jersey on that replay.
No, I avoided the oh, there goes Leroy Hoare, just bruising.
Dude, Leroy Hoare doing Leroy Hoare things.
He got more
things.
Than 3 yards.
It.
Look at that.
I never
considered a barbed wire tattoo because I was too young. I probably would have made a bad life choice had I been, 18 instead of 14 in the late 90s.
Exactly. Dude, I love that uniform so much.
It's killing
me.
I can't remember the Vikings. Oh, goodness sake.
You can't cover them.
Who is
Moss on a fade?
Who was the Vikings fullback? 29. It was Chuck.
Something Evans, I think.
It's Chuck Evans? Charles Evans?
Charles Evans.
Hold on. Let's see what Google has to tell us about this. Sorry, listeners. I'm typing. This is great fun for you.
No worries. Vikings. Dude, David Palmer was another guy you guys had that I was intrigued by back then. Remember David Palmer?
Oh, yeah. He was there. He was their punt returner and kind of scat back third
kind
down
of slot
guy.
Yeah. Dude, there's Cunningham sailing one into coverage. Dude, Corey Stringer was a huge human being.
Yeah, he was. That was the funny thing about the Vikings' offensive line is the right side of their offensive line averaged about 390. The rest of their offensive line averaged about 280.
Yep.
It was so tilted. Oof. They just knocked them. Everything.
Dude, your pass rush is getting home in this game a little
bit. It's fun to watch. Totally. All right, I'm pulling up the Vikings 1998 roster just for fun. Oh, Derek Alexander was one of their defensive ends. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Florida State product. Never quite lived up to expectations.
Yeah, he was always just like, a solid rotation guy. Charles Evans, that was the fullback's name.
Yep, Charles Evans.
Yeah, he was.
Where'd he go to college?
Clark Atlanta,
another HBCU. Dude, look at Randy Moss just taking a hitch to the crib right there.
My favorite thing about Moss was that he never looked like he was going fast.
He was like loping.
Watching him run is like watching somebody walk on a moving sidewalk at the airport where they're going the same pace as everybody
exactly.
else, but like 15, 20% faster.
Also, how do you miss that tackle if you're that corner? Like, come on.
Yeah, he was a lot stronger than you give him credit for. Like that contested fade in the end zone, he just mugged that guy. Look at those stats. 3 catches, 163 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Dude, just a really complete athlete right there.
Yeah, just
big,
just
strong,
silly.
Fast. Yeah, ball skills, the total package. Yeah.
There's Ed McDaniel and Dwayne Rudd combining to stop Irvin. Dwayne Rudd, he was one of the most disappointing Vikings to me.
Really? How so?
Because he came into the league and he was, you know, 6'2", 245 pounds, ran like a 4.45 40, and he was never better than an okay line. He just didn't make plays.
He was just an average NFL linebacker.
Yeah, he just played his position fine, but he never made plays.
Yep.
Which was always annoying.
Who's 87 for the Cowboys in this frame?
I don't know. I'm looking up the Vikings roster. I'm trying to remember their defensive line. Tony Williams was their nose tackle.
Tony Williams,
Jerry
94.
Ball. I forgot about Jerry Ball.
Dude, career Jerry Ball.
Yes.
That's incredible. He was a star for Detroit.
Yeah. Another ad for me. This is great.
Oh, that's here, right. I'll pause. I'm at 11:29.
And I'm there too.
All right. Emmett just scored off a nice block from Moose Johnston.
I forgot Dwayne Clemens.
Yep.
For the Vikings. I'm wondering if Jake Reed just sat this game out. Because we've seen Carter and Moss and
Matthew Hatchett got a little frame time before.
He was another one of those speed guys, deep threats.
Yep.
Yeah. Robert
Tate.
Can
you check for me? Did Andrew Glover actually go to Grambling, or am I making that up?
He did indeed. I'm looking at it right here.
Nice.
Oh,
dude, Leroy Ford is putting on a show.
Abusing people.
Oh, down my goodness. Side.
And look at Carter with the downfield block. Did Horde just break that for like 40?
He did. Like a 2-score game for Leroy Horde. This is amazing.
I want to know what his stats were that year.
Dude, that'd be a good jersey. A Leroy Horde jersey.
That really
no one else would have that.
All right. 1998 with the Vikings. He had 9 touchdowns that year.
Wow.
115 That's carries, incredible. 470 yards. So he averaged over 4 yards a carry, which isn't bad.
Yeah.
For his career, he averaged under 4.
He was the ultimate compliment to Robert Smith type of guy.
Yeah, when he had 10 touchdowns the next year. So his 3 years with the Vikings, he went 4, 9, and 10 touchdowns.
That's incredible. Just a great, like, red zone guy.
Yeah. That was his that was his season long we just saw, I think. Because his season long was 50 yards.
You guys had Kylie Wong on this team too, right? 52?
Oh.
Edge guy?
Yes. Out of Stanford?
Yeah, Stanford.
Man, the Vikings line. Oh, I forgot Pete Bursich was still on this team. Special teams dynamo.
Yeah. Dude, I was on Pete Bursich's radio show one time, I think. Ooh.
Oh. I didn't know Moss
that
could
drop
the
ball.
That
would have been an amazing
play. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a play he made so many times in his career that, like, totally. Adjustment where he kind of steps back underneath the receiver.
Well, it was Jordan-esque, where he would like hang in the air for a super long time.
Mitch Berger, the punter, just got one blocked. That was fun. He was the guy who was known for keeping a Snickers bar in his kicking shoe. So he'd
Are
come
you
to
kidding
the sideline.
Me? That's incredible.
Yeah, he would, or he had, in his like in his non-kicking shoe, I guess, because you know he'd put on his like soccer cleats or whatever to kick.
He was
a kickoff specialist and punter, and every time he kicked, he would come back and take a bite of a Snickers bar.
Dude, that's amazing.
Just really random.
Dude, another awesome special teams thing about this Viking team. Mike Morris, your long snapper. He snapped in the league for like 20 years.
The superstar Mike Morris. He's still a morning show host in Minneapolis. He kind of has the voice like this, you know, the superstar.
Like he would have been a pro wrestler if he wasn't a long snapper in the league.
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of turned into like a bodybuilder type too. Oh man, the Vikings defensive backs were so nondescript.
They really were, dude. They really
were. So there was Robert Griffith, and then Corey Fuller was number 27. He's the one I was trying to remember.
Yep.
Antonio Banks, Dwayne Butler, Ramos McDonald, Jimmy Hitchcock, Anthony Bass, Orlando Thomas, who was fantastic, but we're not allowed to like him because he's a rapist.
Oh no.
Greg Briggs. Realize. Yeah. That's just a really bad defensive backfield.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, you're right. Corey Fuller was supposed to be the next Deion Sanders. He was one of those guys out of Florida State who didn't really live up to the billing. Dude, can we talk for a minute about how cool Randall Cunningham looked in his uniform era? One of the coolest looking guys. Like, Deion Sanders looked super cool in the uniform too, which he wasn't dressed for this game. He must have been dinged. But yeah, Cunningham just looked like he was made to wear that uniform in that way.
Yeah, because it was the era of like bigger quarterback shoulder pads.
Yep.
And, you know, and then Aikman had like the flappy jersey sleeves, you know, to looser for throwing, the kind of classic thing. Whereas Cunningham had the wide receiver sleeves mostly.
Yeah.
Which, pretty tailored. Which suited him because he actually looks like an athlete.
Totally, man. Yeah, it gave him a really cool look for sure.
I mean, so who did he play for in his career? Was it just the Eagles and the Vikings?
I feel like he had a cup of coffee with somebody right at the end. Let me look it up in my studio.
Randall Cunningham.
Let's see. He played for
Cowboys and Ravens.
That's right. Yeah, I knew that there were a couple tacked on.
I forgot
right
about
there.
The Ravens, and I mean, I remember him with them. I have no recollection of him with the Cowboys. But
yeah, it was short.
That's a solid selection of uniforms for him. Because you have the 80s, 90s Eagles, which were just delightful. The Vikings, which in that era looked good. They have had some really dog uniforms over the years, but those were good ones.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, say what you will, classic uniforms. And then the Ravens looked good on him because he looks good in purple. He's one of the handful of guys who pulls off purple well.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Dude, yeah, what a career for Randall Cunningham. Played until he was 38, and played effectively. Like those last years were all really effective years.
Yeah,
and took the sabbatical in 1996. Really interesting, man. Interesting guy. Robert Smith Pipe, was he in early retirement? Did he just get out?
He was. Let me see. I think he only played like 8 years, maybe not even.
Yeah.
Let's see. Ha! Not Robert Smith the singer. Let's see here.
Yeah, I'm looking it up. He played 93 to 2000.
Yeah, so 7 or 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it was just a matter of he had had a number of knee injuries, like restructured knees, different things like that, or rebuilt knees. And then I think he might have been a concussion guy later in his career.
I think so, too. Dude, listen to his stats, though. The last 4 years of his career, 1997, he had 1,200 yards rushing, 5.5 yards per carry. 98, he had almost 1,200, 4.8. 99, he had over 1,000, 4.6. 2000, he had 1,500 yards rushing with a 5.2 average. I mean, this was a freak, man.
And he retired after that. So he had his best year of his career at age 28.
Then he walked away.
And then retired. Yep. Which the other thing that people always talked about him was he was like a biochemistry major or something in college, like or pre-med or something. Like he was a... He could have
super smart.
He kind of could have done anything he wanted, and now he's been on. Is it ESPN or NFL Network?
Yeah.
And he's a really good commentator. Just very level headed, very smart, analytical.
Yep.
He was one of those guys who. I mean, it's probably good he walked away because he's had a great post playing career and probably feels a lot better because of it. But yeah, he was a lot of fun to watch. He was another guy who the Vikings really struggled to replace. Until Adrian Peterson. So they went from Robert Smith to like a whole series of just running backs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Scotty Graham and whoever else in there.
Ontario and, Smith.
Yeah. The steal of the draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wizenator.
Exactly. The Wizenator.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it,
and,
man.
And then they got Adrian Peterson, and who was sort of the, I don't even know that Peterson was a good pick because they took him, you know, top five or seven in the draft, but he was also the greatest running back of his era that decade. Yeah. And
a very singular talent. Dude, the thing about Adrian Peterson that was so remarkable was that he was as punishing as the big back punishing type backs were, but as nifty as a little guy. You know, he had like David Palmer niftiness and like Mike Allstott thump. All in the same guy.
Yeah, and his breakaway speed was nuts. It's funny, after watching Randy Moss and his breakaway speed, where you're like, oh, he's in second gear. going faster than everybody else. Peterson always looked like he was running faster than everybody else. You know, because he had like the head pump. He looked like when Moss goes, it looks like a car coasting. When Peterson runs, it looks like a racehorse in the home stretch. You know, with like the head and the neck going and everything.
Yeah, he was frenetic, man. He was frenetic. You knew you were gonna like be sore if you tried to tackle him. Yeah, just a very complete player, very fun player.
Talk about it. I mean, so he's sort of the opposite of Robert Smith in that he probably should have retired 2 years ago, but he just keeps ticking along. What is he now, like 34? And assuming there's an NFL season this year, he's probably going to come back on some team. Like he's still productive. It's just that the game doesn't have a place for guys who are kind of between the tackle bangers quite the same way it used to.
Yeah, he's in that weird like Frank Gore twilight of his career where year after year you're like, huh, he was oddly effective. You know, he put up a couple of 100-yard games. And,
he rushed for 1,000 yards last, not the most recent season, the season before. Like he, you know, came back with the Redskins and was just
it's insane.
Yeah, shockingly effective for a bad team.
Shockingly effective. That's a good way to put it. And provided Darius Geis gets hurt again, he'll be there bell cow back again this season if we have a season. Dude, speaking of like one little nugget of current NFL news, which will not be current by the time this drops, but Cam Newton getting released today by the Panthers.
Oh, did he? They finally that means our prediction of him to the Patriots can come true.
Dude, I actually wrote a column about it. I was so enamored by our conversation that I watched a bunch of Cam tape and I put it into a column. And Tristan is our like resident huge Pats fan in the household, and I'm one too. We are both pulling for that now. So it was you. You were the catalyst for us being okay with that. So thank you.
Man, I was listening to the handful of NFL podcasts that have been put out in recent weeks, which there's not many because it's only player movement, but
right.
And it's so funny to hear the opinions because you'll hear some guy like so the one with what is it called, the GM shuffle with Mike Lombardi.
Yeah, dude, I love that so much.
Yeah, Lombardi's totally your cup of tea. He was like, there's no way in bleep that Belichick would bring in a guy who's not trustworthy as a passer. And then you go listen to like the Monday Morning Quarterback ones through Sports Illustrated, and they're like, man, there's a really decent chance Belichick's intrigued by this guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well,
nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything, you know? But also I choose to ignore Mike Lombardi and say that I think he's going to go to the Pats, especially now that he's released. It doesn't even have to be a trade.
Right. And Belichick is the master of the soft quarterback market, right? Like wait until a guy's value is the lowest
he can play guys off against each other because he's a free agent. Yeah. Andy Dalton's still a free agent. There's
totally
the teams who want quarterbacks. Like there's the three or four guys in the draft.
It's a buyer's market right now. I mean, Jameis Winston is still out there, right?
Yeah, there's three legitimately good NFL starters. I mean, good in terms of like they're better than backups for sure.
Dude, which that was a thing that surprised me was how bullish Lombardi was on Jameis going to the Pats. And to me, like if you're looking at less than sort of professional quarterback fits for the Pats, I would think he would take Cam over Jameis. But that's just me. And Lombardi obviously knows more about this than I do. But I would gamble on Cam to the Pats before Jameis to the Pats.
But Lombardi also says a lot of things very boldly that if you go back and check him, you're like, yeah, that didn't happen. That's not true.
Yeah, that's so true.
He just, everything he says with the certainty of like the Godfather, you know, where he's
very
just like
fictional.
Yeah, he just sort of is a walking Sopranos character, and
he totally is, which is what he wants to be most, I think.
And it is fun, but at the same time, I feel like a little bit like he's living on experience he had in the league 8-10 years ago, because he always calls back on time working for Al Davis, and I'm like, Al Davis was insane. Okay, like
that's true.
His teams haven't been good since John Madden was the coach. Other than, I mean, I guess there was the Gruden Gannon year, but.
Yeah. No, totally. Deep dive question on that show. Do you prefer Tate Frazier or Adnan Virk as the sidekick to Mike Lombardi?
Tate Frazier.
I think me too. Yeah. No disrespect to Adnan Virk.
See, on a show like that, because Lombardi is so volatile. Having a guy who's as like, so Adnan is the consummate professional broadcaster, can kind of do any sport. He is knowledgeable. He knows pop culture. Like he does a good job with the content of the show, but in terms of a personality fit, having the sort of young shoot from the hip Tate Frazier personality next to like the cranky grandpa was a lot of fun. And I thought it was a little bit better.
It was really,
dynamic.
Really good. Yeah. And Adnan Virk is just kind of a hype man from Mike Lombardi, you know?
Yeah.
Which, I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? Like if I'm Mike Lombardi, I want a hype man.
Well, no. I think Virk is a great, he's a great broadcaster. He's not a great personality.
Yeah.
And
podcasts, that's well said.
You know, as we know, after doing this for whatever, 6 years, only work if the personalities are interesting. And
totally.
The only reason people listen to our podcast is because they think that the two of us on the sports show and the three of us on the other show are interesting. It's not because we're geniuses or, you know, have insights that other people couldn't figure out. So, yeah, I find Virk just a little bit, he's a little bit blasé. It's the same reason why, like, on the NBA ones, I don't like Adrian Wojnarowski's podcast because he's a genius of an insider and just boring as paint drying as a podcast host.
Exactly. Adnan Virk is the Todd Stussy of podcast co-hosting.
Oh, hold on. 10 yards holding. Just bring it back.
False start. Yeah,
man, the number of times I cursed loudly at the television because the Vikings got a big play called back because of a Stussy holding penalty. Like, I probably owe some Hail Marys for that or something.
Let's end the program by looking at Todd Stussy's Pro Football Reference and just kind of marvel at what we see. So Stussy, wow, 2-time Pro Bowler. That's curious to me. That's interesting. Oh, so 97 and 98, he went to the Pro Bowl.
That's because their offense was fantastic. I mean, he was a fine player. Notice in that that game that we were just watching, the Cowboys pass rush didn't really get home much, but he was a reputation call for the Pro Bowl, as you know, as happens. Yeah. Like the offensive lineman for the best team.
Dude, you know what I'm noticing about Todd Stussy? Very durable. Played a lot of 16-game seasons.
Yeah.
He was durable. He was available. Played till he was 37. Mm-hmm. So tip the cap to Todd Stussy. I know you're listening, wherever you are, around the hearth, practicing social distancing with the Stussy family.
The Stussy's biggest problem was that he played in an era when the left tackles in the league were – like he overlapped with the greatest left tackles in history.
Yeah, that's true, dude. He was with like – Jonathan Ogden, Tony Baselli,
Orlando Pace.
Yeah,
who was it? Was it Anthony Munoz, who was kind of the tail end of
late
his career?
Munoz. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And
that's
so
right,
that's who everybody wanted. It was the true sort of back in the era of the true blindside protector. He's the kind of guy who would make an insane amount of money playing today because he is a perfectly reliable, adequate tackle in a league where those are incredibly hard to find.
He would be like the Andrew Whitworth of today or the, you know, the Nate Solder of today.
Yes.
Dude, yeah, Willie Rofe played in his era. Yep. It was just a golden age of tackles. Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting era because there was so few, you know, 250-pound speed rushers. It was still an era where you wanted to set up the pass with the run. So being a left tackle was a different thing than it is now, where you want tackles that are almost more like basketball players now in terms of build and agility, which is just it's just a different game than it used to be.
Yeah, definitely, man, definitely. Well, Pipe, this has been a lot of fun, man.
It's been fun for us. I have no idea if the listeners will like it, but you know, we do this for us.
I hope they like it. I kind of don't care though, because I kind of want to do another one of these next week. So
let me
utilize some of this quarantine time to find another perfect Vikings film, and we can maybe plan on doing another one of these.
Maybe we could break down a classic basketball game, maybe a Seattle Sonics. Sean
Dude,
Kemp,
I watched
Gary Payton
right before like the heavy quarantine stuff hit. I was still going into my office some, and I watched, I had this huge TV screen in my classroom, and me and the great Michael Chapman, one of my students, we watched a Sean Kemp, Gary Payton game. And it was sublime. It was really fun. So yeah, let's pick the perfect, like condensed, you know, late 90s Supersonics game. And we'll dial that one up for next time.
Here's another idea, just as long as we're throwing this stuff out. What about we rejudge dunk contests?
Dude, I would love that. I would love that. Like a late 90s dunk contest where they always had Tom Chambers was always like the token white guy. And that would be so fun. Let's do that. Let's do that for the next one. We'll rejudge a dunk contest.
All right. That sounds fun.
Awesome. And we'll get to go like deep dive into the uniforms, the warmups, just the ethos of the dunk contest back then. Yeah. Great idea, Pipe. I love it. Well, Piper, we have done what we always do on this program. In that we've done what we never do on this program, which is
which is stay on topic.
Down 1998 Vikings film. So we've done a new thing. And until next time, Todd Stussy.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
The Historical Jesus Podcast is the sweeping saga of the life and times of Galilean Jesus of Nazareth, as well as the faith, religion, and church founded to honor and disseminate his acts and teachings. Join me, Mark Vinette, on this fascinating journey through time, exploring the many great works of Christian theology, literature, architecture, music, and art, inspired by the words and deeds of Jesus Christ.